Hey, everybody, we're going to get your Monday Night Raw review started in just a moment, including thoughts on Shayna Baszler's return, The Big Show continuing to hunt down Orton, Kevin Owens getting a big win over Seth Rollins, and Raw drops to a historic low rating. What does this all mean? We're going to break it down right after this. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
All right, guys, let's get everything started here with your Monday Night Raw review for this Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. As always, I hope everyone is doing well today. And we certainly have a lot to discuss with Monday Night Raw. And this was the go-home show to Extreme Rules. Wait, excuse me, the horror show at Extreme Rules, or the horror show Extreme Rules, whatever silly marketing adjustment they made to the Extreme Rules pay-per-view name. Let's just call it Extreme Rules, because that's exactly what it is. And it's funny that they add names to the pay-per-view, but they cut names from superstars, right? Like, Buddy Murphy's no longer Buddy Murphy. It's just Murphy, right? Antonio Cesaro is just Cesaro, and the list goes on. But, nonetheless, we're going to jump into Monday Night Raw. All of the good, some of the bad, although I don't really can't find a ton that I can complain about or critique. So this should be a generally positive show, which may surprise some people, given the environment that we're in with professional wrestling, but we have to remember the lens in which we should view wrestling right now. Now, I'm not telling you how to look at wrestling, but I would suggest that you look at wrestling through this lens right now. That it is a show that has the soul of it removed, right? We have pro wrestling on the operating table. And if you could physically remove a soul, that's what the surgeon took away. So you have the physical body. Everything looks the same. Oh, yeah, except the soul is gone. And that's exactly what pro wrestling is right now. It's a simulated sport without a soul. And yes, certainly, the NXT trainees and their friends and family or whoever else is invited at the Performance Center certainly help the presentation. And I don't mean that sarcastically. They truly do help out the presentation of wrestling, AEW and WWE. But when you remove the soul of wrestling, sometimes it's not so easy to just lose yourself in the TV program. But I don't think there are many people heeding this advice that I just gave, because Raw has now suffered a historic low rating, and not just a little bit low, like the lowest it has ever hit. For example, on Monday night, according to Showbuzz Daily, Raw averaged 1.561 million fans on Monday night. That represents a decrease over last Monday night's show on July 6th, that drew 1.687 million. So they lost about 100,000 people for the go-home show of Extreme Rules. Now, what does this mean? Can you really dive too much into this? Can you really dive really deep into professional wrestling. I mean, you can look at this one of two ways. You could say this is a scary trend. You could say WWE is in trouble. They need to put their best foot forward. And this is a sign of a bigger problem that is not going to be resolved anytime soon. And it just, the trend is going to continue. The upside of that, if you're looking at a glass half full scenario, is twofold. One, what if WWE just decided not to do anything, right? Like when this pandemic started 4 months ago, they could have just closed their doors and said, we'll see you when this is over. But they didn't do that. And looking back, I think that was still the right decision. Yes, people have ended up with positive tests of COVID-19 in the Performance Center. It's probably more rampant than we know. But the fact of the matter is, this is not a deadly virus for those under the age of 70 and don't have any pre-existing conditions and are world-class athletes. Yes, of course, you have the crew, you have creative, you have producers that may be there that are not in the shape that these performers are and are probably more at risk, and I understand that. But when you look at the statistics, the flu is more deadly than COVID-19. And this is not to say this virus is not easily spread and that you have people getting sick and having permanent damage. But the fact that if you just look at the science and the stats, this virus is less deadly and less dangerous than the flu, right? So given all that, I still agree with WWE staying open. It is difficult to watch at times. I'm glad they put people into the audience. It helps out on a weekly basis. It really, really does, even if it's 15 people there. I don't care. It's nice. But that is the first part, that they at least continued. Because I think if they took a six-month break or however long this pandemic continues where we can't have fans, true fans, in a large-scale building, which, again, who knows, 6 months, a year, longer, say 18 months, who knows? Only time will tell. But I think them not shutting the doors, it was the right thing to do. I really believe that. But that's part one. And part two, yeah, the ratings are bad. They're at a historic low. But what do you expect? What do you expect the ratings to do? Go up? I wouldn't. Why would the ratings go up? Why would the ratings go up? To me, yeah, this is a historic low and they've been trending slowly down. But they're not sharply falling, right? They're not drastically dropping week after week after week. They're keeping their core audience, and they are doing the best that they can with what they have. So I really, you know, if I was going to be put on the spot, I would say they're going to be fine. I'm not an alarmist. I'm not going to, you know, break the glass in case of emergency and bring out stars that don't need to be there in front of nobody just to make sure that the ratings stabilize. I'm sure Fox isn't happy, but these are extraordinary times. These really are. I don't think this is a signal for WWE. In fact, I would argue that upon the WWE's return to a live audience and we get back to normal, that WWE is going to have its single biggest jump from week to week, meaning if Monday Night Raw next week was being held, say, in Chicago at the Allstate Arena, and it was in front of a live audience and everything's back and, oh my God, and WWE promotes it, and they should make a big deal about it. Whenever this happens, they should make it like it's WrestleMania. I believe that that will be the single biggest jump from week to week that WWE's had in 10 years. Because there's that anticipation. People are tuning out because you're taking the soul out of it. When you put the soul back into it, people will return and they'll come back. Right now, you are seeing the numbers of your core, hardcore audience that never leaves. These are your numbers. And I'm one of those 1.5 million people that watched on Hulu, right? I don't watch it, as you know, on USA Live. The other scary thing, again, if you're being a pessimist about these ratings, is WWE has no competition right now. What I mean by that is there's no Monday Night Football right now. There's no Major League Baseball right now. Major League sports are still on hold. They're returning shortly, but but they're still on hold, which makes you wonder, what, there's no competition? What's WWE? What are their numbers going to look like when you have a baseball game on Monday night? Red Sox, Yankees. What are you going to do if the NBA Finals return? Right? You have LeBron James on the court. What are you going to do? I feel like Hogan here. When football returns in just a couple of months, right? What the hell is WWE going to do then in terms of numbers? So there's a lot to think about here, but right now I'm going to be a pessimistically optimistic, where I'm realistic, but I'm trying to trend on the positive side of that. So we'll see. But I wanted to give you guys that. Typically, I don't really talk about ratings. That's really not what we do here. But the fact that it hit an all-time historic low, it's not really that surprising. It makes news. It creates clicks. Hell, I put it in the title of the show. But when you really break it down, the fact that it took 4 months to get a historic low from the start of the pandemic to now is actually a tribute or a compliment to WWE for at least slowing the trend, or as the phrase goes today, flattening the curve of the ratings drop to a sustainable level. So we'll have to see how WWE continues to do, if they continue to hit record lows every week, if they just slowly keep trending down. Eventually they'll hit a basement level, right? What is that basement level? Could it be 1.5 million? Because that to me is their core audience, their base, hardcore audience, if you will. The ones that watch it no matter what the presentation is. And so we'll have to see. Again, guys, welcome to the WWE podcast. We're the unofficial WWE podcast. And so a couple things before we get going into the actual show is we are on Instagram at WWE_podcast. And we're on Facebook. I didn't get my old page back. I created a new one. So please head over there, like it. I just started getting some new people to like the page and follow the page. So we don't have a whole lot because I just started from scratch again because somebody has it out for me. And that is facebook.com/unofficial WWE podcast. That's the best I could come up with. I could not do WWE podcast because that is already taken. So again, it's facebook.com/unofficial WWE podcast. If you want to go over there and hit the like button, I'd appreciate it. We're going to be doing some cool things over there, as well as with the website, of, because you guys are asking, doing some video reviews or video questions, because I'm going to start out probably small. I'll start out small with like a quick rant or a quick question or a quick topic that is going to be 15 minutes or less, where I'll just talk about whatever's going on, maybe a reaction to a pay-per-view, a big moment on Raw or SmackDown, something along those lines. That'll be premiering on Facebook and on the website, because I've been tinkering with the website, and I have a poll up on there, wwepodcast.com, of how we can improve the site, because I want to make sure that it's as good as it can be for you guys. I know that apps are taking the place of websites, but I still think that there's a place for websites in the internet world community today. So whether it's becoming more of a news or news website, adding video, opinion columns, whatever it is, I do have a poll up there. It's on the homepage on the right side. Go ahead and vote because I'm curious. I know I would love to make it a news website a little bit more than normal, which is almost never, right? It's just podcasts or opinion columns that really go up there. But I would be curious to see if anyone's interested in becoming a news contributor for our website. If you love pro wrestling and you want to contribute to the WWE podcast, whether it's an opinion column or becoming a news contributor, please email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. That's realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Okay, so Monday Night Raw. Did you like it? I really enjoyed it from several different fronts, and maybe my bar is lowering. So the lower the bar goes, the lower my expectations go, the less it takes to satisfy me. But I may be in the minority. Clearly, I think I am, because of the massive drop in ratings over the last 4 months, and the continual drop and the historic low that we reached this week. But I'm enjoying Raw. I just am. And I have been for a couple of months now. I just think it's the WWE doing the most that they can with the least that they have. And this past week, I liked it. So what did I like? Let's just get to specifics, right? I like Drew McIntyre, who comes off very genuine. He comes off like a real champion. And the more I think about it, the more, well, we all know he's going to beat Dolph Ziggler, the more I believe he's going to lose it to Randy Orton at SummerSlam, only to regain it whenever fans are present again, so they can have that moment again with him and have that organic moment. Yes, it's not his first time that he's captured the championship, and it won't be whenever he's back in front of fans, but they can at least embrace and really be there for that moment as if it were the first moment and the first time that Drew McIntyre wins the WWE Championship. So that's really what my thinking is. Maybe Randy Orton takes it from him at SummerSlam. Maybe not. But either way, Drew McIntyre this past week showed up on the MVP lounge, right? MVP. And it's interesting. WWE has been just all about these just phony talk shows, haven't they? I mean, how many times have we seen SmackDown open with Miz TV? Right. How many times now have we seen the MVP's VIP lounge open Monday night Raw? And you know, as much as I may be critiquing that as kind of like one show feels like the other instead of each having their own identity, they're just the same in terms of format and program style and rivalries and all that, the way that things are in promos. So the brands don't have a distinct identity from one another. But I will say this. At least MVP didn't say the first thing out of his mouth, "Welcome to Monday Night Raw." How many times have I said that's the first thing, no matter who it is, what they're doing, or who they're coming out for, that's the first thing they say. And to MVP, maybe he forgot, maybe he got scolded in the back, but the fact is he did not say it. So that was awesome. Small thing, but it was just nice. So MVP opened up the show, and Dolph Ziggler joined him, and MVP shook the hand of Dolph to thank him on behalf of Drew McIntyre, who has not thanked him for really taking for getting Drew McIntyre to where he is today. And Dolph is taking credit for that. And we have Dolph Ziggler join MVP as they go to footage from last week on Monday night where Drew beats Heath in a match that he was forced into. And then the clip goes after the match where Ziggler attacks Slater, but McIntyre chased him off. McIntyre comes out. He said he's hurt enough, basically. And he said that, "Don't worry, MVP. I'm not going to destroy your set. I'm not going to Claymore kick you." But he realized that Ziggler used Slater like he did with Mandy Rose and Big E, and declares that Ziggler may be one of the most talented in-ring performers they've ever seen. And then Ziggler interrupts, and they say that, or McIntyre states he's going to make Ziggler wish he never brought him back. And McIntyre says he doesn't even want to wait and wants some action before Sunday. And McIntyre then punches Ziggler in the face before walking off. Strong segment. I mean, it was effective. I think that this is really a means to an end as far as getting McIntyre past Ziggler to get to Orton. Ziggler is never been and has and probably never will be, unfortunately, a destination for big top baby faces. He's just a gatekeeper, if you will. He's a guy that WWE knows they can rely on to always have a great match. He's a plug and play anywhere, a very valuable guy, but one that's never going to be the guy. He just isn't. And those that are still hanging on to hope and clinging on to that hope, I don't know how you can, based on the 10 years of missed bookings and really strongly defining to the audience where we see Dolph Ziggler fitting into the mold, which is a B-plus guy, not to rip off the slogan that the authority used against Daniel Bryan heading into WrestleMania 30, calling him a B-plus player. But that's exactly how they view Ziggler. A B-plus guy, a very good talent, very good hand, can have a good match with anybody. ultra talented, but never is going to be the top guy. He's just never going to be that type of star. They have defined him to us over and over. So I see no reason to believe he will ever get that big run that we all feel he deserves, at least on the top. I know he won the Money in the Bank briefcase and cashed it in the day after WrestleMania. The crowd went wild, and then his championship run went nowhere. So, despite that, it has just been a long road for Ziggler, of which I think is going to land him a Claymore and a 1-2-3. Now, is there a small chance Ziggler wins on Sunday? Sure. Crazier things have happened in WWE. But I wouldn't bank on it because I see no benefit in it other than a shock value. And shock value is cheap. Shock value is very superficial. It doesn't get you far. Because once you get a bunch of eyeballs on the product and you get what you're looking for, which is a spike in ratings and people interested to see what the hell's going on, people are going to go, oh, Ziggler won? Okay, next. And they're going to tune out next week and you'll see a massive drop in ratings. So it's a very short-term vision for a long-term price. So, and I think the fans will see through it as a hot shot angle to bring fans back, and they'll see right through it. So I see no benefit in Ziggler winning. I see zero. But we'll get to my prediction. By the way, prediction show coming up this Saturday with a co-host. I don't know who yet. So stay tuned. I'll be pulling out one of our co-hosts from our co-host hat, I guess you say. And we'll be getting you a full review for a preview for Extreme Rules. And of course, Extreme Rules review, Raw review, all that stuff coming next week. But on Thursday of this week is AEW NXT for those wondering. Okay. So beyond that, we also got what's on next on the list here of my notes? Oh, the Viking Raiders versus Andrade and Angel Garza with Zelina Vega. Good match. The winners here, Andrade and Angel Garza, I think was the right move. It, I think, started to solidify the issues between Garza and Andrade. Why is that important? Because nobody wants to see Angel Garza versus Andrade, right, at this point. Right? Andrade is the elder statesman in comparison to Angel Garza, not in the whole of WWE. But Andrade has a little bit more, I guess, respect with the fans. Certainly more recognizability, brand awareness. So if these two were to have a rivalry, I would think by default Andrade would be the babyface in this one because of the fact that he's been in front of fans longer. But nobody wants to see these two fight at this point. I think right now these two need to show cohesion. They need to show that they're a unit. And there was a start of that this Monday. That was good, as the Viking Raiders have fallen into oblivion. Right? They've lost to the Street Profits a number of times. They care more about bowling and javelin and silly antics of trying to do poor comedy for Vince McMahon's tickles. Vince McMahon is behind all of the comedy that happens in WWE, and you see his sense of humor on Raw many times. Same with the pay-per-views, and it's like Vince McMahon's sense of humor froze at 14 years old, and his body aged, and his mind didn't. That's how it feels. Nonetheless, I'm going way off the tracks here. Andrade and Angel Garza, good win for them. I hope this continues, and we'll see. All right. The Iconics, by the way, Iconics and Ruby Riot versus Ruby Riot and Bianca Belair. Number one, it's good to see Bianca Belair, okay? She made her presence felt. She threw Billy Kay around the ring, speared her, and then kissed her hand and hits a handspring for the cover on Billy. And then Riot fell off the turnbuckle and for a step up in Siguri. And Belair got the kiss of death for the three counts. So, good win. Again, nothing blow away. Just a signal that, hey, Bianca Belair is still here. She went and had an amazing Royal Rumble in the Women's Royal Rumble this year. Really, really made a name for herself. If you didn't know who she was, you did by the end of the Royal Rumble. disappeared into, again, the ether. And then now she seems to be at least back rebuilding things. I don't think WWE knew what to really do with her on the main roster, which is why she didn't get essentially called up and used for many, many months. But again, a good win. And the only thing is, it's against the Iconics, who, you know, I am a huge fan of the Iconics, and I was hoping upon their return they would play a bigger role, because the Iconics are just perfect, annoying, bratty, obnoxious women that are full of themselves, but they're all in with it. It's not like they're playing a game. It feels like they are like that outside of the ring, and I want to feel that way. And it's a shame that they are being just, again, after their re-debut, it seems like they're just kind of being redefined into a lower card position in the women's division. So it's, again, great to see Belair get the win and Ruby Riott on a winning side, but it's at the expense of the Iconics, which is kind of, it's contrasting for me. So, okay. Moving on here to, what did I have in my notes? I did this a little bit in order, which is not like me. I know some of you hate when we have things go in order, but sometimes they do. Sometimes my brain actually works in a congruent way. Let's see. Oh, the 24/7 title match with R-Truth versus Akira Tozawa. R-Truth came out. He's rapping to his entrance music. What's up? And then Truth asks why Tozawa has three ninjas with him. And then cue the Queen of Spades. Shayna Baszler comes back. She says that she's been patient and let these women have their moment, but she's done. And then she states that the Queen of Spades is here to shatter the illusion that they were safe. Reality check. I am that reality. And then she leaves the ring. Now, a couple things here. Great to see Shayna Baszler back, number one. Right? Like, it's great. I'm not sure why she was ever taken off. Rumor has it that Vince wasn't high on her being the face of the women's division. I don't think he ever understood Shayna Baszler, while the rest of us did. I don't think he did. So that's good. Number one, it's great to see her back. Makes an impact immediately by taking out, I guess, the ninjas. And that's whatever. I mean, again, man on woman violence. Only okay when it's women on man violence, right? You can't go the other way. That's just makes no sense to me. In a fantasy world, why we can't ever have men retaliate ever for anything. It's just nonsense, right? But so we continue with only women on men, but no men on women violence. In this case, it's okay. I'm okay with it because it's three ninjas that we don't even know. They are more of a comedy act as well, but Shayna Baszler they were there as a setup for Shayna to return, and she could just immediately show that she means business and do it against somebody that really means nothing. Those ninjas mean nothing because we don't even know who they are. They represent Akira Tozawa, and Akira Tozawa isn't exactly Hulk Hogan on the roster. So it's great to see her back, and, I don't know why they took her off, as I was saying. She was breaking arms before she left, which I thought was awesome. Coming off of her loss to Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, she was breaking arms left and right. And Sarah Logan, obviously one of those victims. And she is, Sarah Logan, I think, announced her retirement from pro wrestling. So that's interesting. But I loved what she was doing. And then she just went away. We didn't see her for a couple of months. Now she's back and clearly in contention, I think, almost immediately for the women's championship. I think her and Asuka are on a collision course at SummerSlam, where you could very well see Shayna Baszler capturing that belt. Now, here's the little caveat. Charlotte Flair, right? Does she somehow find her way into this match? Does Nia Jax somehow find her way into this match? Again, I'm talking about a match that's fictitious at this point, but we have to start looking at SummerSlam. I really believe it's going to be Asuka and Shayna Baszler. It could be one-on-one, but it could also do your typical fatal four-way of Charlotte, Nia Jax, Asuka, and Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania, at SummerSlam. Just some food for thought, but let me know what you guys think. Alrighty, moving on here. Let's see. Seth Rollins comes out, and he talks over and over about an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye. What does that even mean? Thank you, because what does that mean? Well, folks, we got our answer. It's revolutionary. It means exactly what you think it means, and how they're going to execute this is beyond me. I really don't know how WWE is going to execute this. Could it be the way that Rey Mysterio retires? Yep, it could be. Going down in a blaze of glory. Interestingly, though, this is apparently an eye for an eye. And Seth Rollins is talking about Rey Mysterio not being able to see his kids again, see his wife again. Well, if it's an eye for an eye, he has two eyes, right? So are you talking about taking both eyes? I don't know. This is a very grotesque and puzzling stipulation for a match of a PG era. And something tells me that they're not going to actually have payoff for this in terms of actually going through with somebody getting their eye pulled out of their head. There's going to be a payoff, no doubt. Like this is clearly setting up for something bigger. And it could be heat on Rollins for ending Rey Mysterio's career. It could be. But if you think for 1 second that somebody is actually going to get their eye pulled out of their head, obviously not in a real sense. They'll have some kind of prop and make it look really just gross, right? Even that I don't think will happen. If you really believe that they're actually going to go through with it, that would be ridiculous if they actually go through in a staged way of somebody getting their eye pulled out. You're really backing yourself into a corner here. You really are. But let's see here. Rollins says he has a prophecy to fulfill and that the WWE Universe asked him to lead them into the future. This year, the Extreme Rules is called the Horror Show, which is exactly what it will be. And he talks about blinding Mysterio again. He says Mysterio will never see Dominic get married or see his wife again, see a sunset. And then Kevin Owens interjects himself here and says he was ready to end his own career if it meant shutting you up, and that Rollins doesn't have to be worried because after Extreme Rules, I have what you need, an eye patch, right? I guess he got it from a pirate or something. And then Aleister Black comes out to make the save after it looked like it was going to be a 2-on-1 scenario against Kevin Owens.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
Welcome back to the WWE podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
But we get Aleister Black here versus Murphy because we haven't seen this match enough. And, you know, I know Aleister Black and Murphy have had some awesome matches. They had that 2 out of 3 best of 3 or best of 5 series in which Aleister Black beat Murphy in all of them. And that's why Murphy was in a dark place and was vulnerable to being picked up by the Monday Night Messiah. We just haven't heard anything from Aleister Black. His music hits, he makes the save, He puts on good matches. Him and Murphy are just got chemistry that's off the charts. But we don't hear anything from him. It'd be nice to know what's in his mind. Right? I want to know why he's doing what he's doing. Give us something. Aleister Black has been silent other than coming out and just, again, making the save and playing the babyface. It's been very kind of vanilla for Aleister Black. He's a little bit lost in the shuffle here, and I don't like it. But, again, I'm not complaining about Aleister Black versus Murphy in terms of quality. It's just repetitive at this point. So, again, nothing to complain about with the match, but Aleister Black won by DQ after Rollins dragged Black out of the ring after he hit Black Mass. And after the match, Owens runs at Rollins, who ducks behind the ring, and then Rey Mysterio comes out and surrounds Seth Rollins, as Dominic is also there as well. That leads right into Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. These two also have really good chemistry, and it was reminding me of the WrestleMania match, which was the match of the night, no doubt. There were some funny things here, too. We had Owen push through the crowd of Dominic and Rey Mysterio and shouts, "Surprise!" And he hits a Superman punch. It was really good. Kevin Owens has the comedic timing down organically. I don't think that was anything that was planned. And again, we got Kevin Owens getting the win here in a lengthy match. And this was not without a little bit of controversy, though, because here was the ending segment here, or the finish. Owens attempts to go for the stunner. Rollins runs through, heads to the top rope, and Owens finally gets the upper hand, grabs Rollins as the ring is surrounded by everyone at ringside. Everyone was distracting Rollins, and he hit the stunner for the win. So, I'm fine with this win. I'm surprised a little bit at this win, because typically the person going into the pay-per-view that actually has a match will win. But the thing is, the person that who Seth Rollins is facing, is already outside on the ring. If this was Seth Rollins facing anybody else, I think you would have had Seth Rollins win clean. But this was a way to build some heat, a little more heat between Rey and Seth. And here's the other thing too. If Rey Mysterio was so angry at what Seth did, he had plenty of opportunities to just get a piece of Rollins last night, and he didn't, right? Rey Mysterio continued to just play the too good of a guy card and wait till Sunday. Why is Rey Mysterio giving up all these opportunities to get a piece of Seth Rollins? If someone tried to blind me, nothing would stop me at getting at that person. I'm not going to play nice, and Rey Mysterio is too nice, but again, Kevin Owens getting the victory here was surprising in that, again, Kevin Owens is just returned. He doesn't have a serious or real defined program right now going into Extreme Rules. Yeah, he's kind of like a leftover, if you will, with Rollins from WrestleMania. But he's not the focal point of this program. So it was interesting that Kevin Owens got the win, but I'm not angry about it. I'm just curious as where they're going with his character as we get closer to SummerSlam. I think Monday night after Extreme Rules will be very telling. By the way, at the end of the match, Mysterio gets on the mic and says, "Seth, you tried to end my career. You terrorized my family. You put your hands on my son. You crossed every line. This Sunday at Extreme Rules horror show." Gotta say that. Whatever. I'm going to make a sacrifice of my own. You're walking in with two eyes, but you're being carried out with only one. So, I mean, when you see this too in text, and I'm reading this in text right now, it was so written. I'm not even going to go down the road of scripted promos. I think it's been beaten to death, buried, resurrected, and beaten and buried again. But boy, oh boy, sometimes when you read something, I'm like, no one would actually say this. Right? Like it's so written, and you can see it just feels written. Anyway, I like Mysterio, but okay, moving on before I get on a tangent. Big Show and Ric Flair backstage had an interesting conversation. Big Show and Ric Flair, they had a very, an almost genuinely emotional conversation, with Ric saying that Big Show is the best big man he's ever seen. And that's saying something about, you know, Wahoo McDaniels and Andre the Giant and, you know, many, many other guys that he's worked with. And that he's the best big man that he's ever worked with. And he seemed to get actually tears in his eyes. And because I actually believe that he believes that. And Big Show fires back and basically says that you're willing to destroy your friendships for Randy Orton. Right. And it made Ric Flair think. And Randy Orton, though, by the way, cut another really good promo. Stumbled over a couple of words, as I do all the time in my podcast. So it's not anything that I am critiquing about him. It's just that Randy Orton's been so on fire that even something like that will make you go, what? Randy Orton stumbled? He's just so good right now. And cut a promo where he boasted about sending Edge back home, putting Christian in his place during their one more match. And he discussed the Big Show and their history. He said that Show took him under his wing. He was the first person to do it. And Orton then discussed Flair and says that Show is just another chapter in the history of the Legend Killer. Randy Orton comes up, or Flair comes up and gives Orton some taps, and then says he's right behind him, staring in the direction of Flair as we go to commercial. A very slightly sinister stare at Ric, who could be the next victim of Randy Orton. If he's a Legend Killer, there's nobody better to represent a legend in the business than Ric Flair. So be on the lookout for a punt to Ric Flair this coming Monday. Just a little bit of food for thought. And so here we go. What else do we have here? 24/7 champion R-Truth versus Randy Orton. R-Truth asks Orton to hold on because he wants to talk to Ric, and then Orton goes to attack, but R-Truth fights back and comes away. He goes for a scissor kick, but Orton hits the RKO and gets a quick win over R-Truth. And this is where things get a little interesting. Orton backs up for the punt. Flair tries to step in front of him. The Big Show's music hits, but Orton tells him to stop, or he's going to punt R-Truth's head off. Orton says he wasn't going to punt him anyway, and that next Monday he's got nothing going on, and it's time to finish what Big Show started in an unsanctioned match. He shouts, Big Show obviously agrees, and Orton and Flair walk up the ramp. So, interesting to me is that this is not on the pay-per-view. I'm wondering why. How is this not on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view? I don't know. WWE certainly is not shy about stacking a pay-per-view card and making it longer than necessary. I don't know the purpose of this being a Monday night. Maybe it's a ratings booster. Maybe it's a hook for people to tune in. It certainly has my attention. When they announced it for Monday night, I'm like, really? I mean, I kind of liked it, because typically the formula is put it on the pay-per-view, put it on the pay-per-view, put it on the pay-per-view. And instead, Orton skipped the Extreme Rules pay-per-view and went straight to Monday Night Raw. So, to me, that's the match that's going to end the show next Monday night, is Orton versus Big Show in an unsanctioned match. Furthermore, again, they clearly have a big angle here that could be heading towards SummerSlam. Furthermore, Orton continues to build heat. Nobody's getting any offense on him. Okay, R-Truth had the little flurry, but this is what I'm talking about. Every week, it makes you want to see somebody take Randy Orton's head off, bust his skull open, doesn't it? When was the last time we saw a heel go this long without somebody getting the pinfall or the submission? I don't know the answer. This is old school heat. This is wrestling psychology 101. It's brilliant. And Randy Orton is clearly motivated. He's got a lot going on. He is the best WWE has to offer right now. He's killing it. He is white hot. White hot. And you're seeing what the potential of Randy Orton was all these years, that he was just floating on SmackDown and, you know, occasionally burning down Sister Abigail's house or floating in and out of the championship picture and facing Jinder Mahal, all that stuff, that's all behind us. This is a new Randy Orton. This is Randy Orton of 2004. I mean, Randy Orton is back. And you can tell he cares and he's motivated right now because he knows he has a lot of targets on his back, a lot of guys that he loves to work with Christian and Edge and now Big Show, three of his real-life best friends. I mean, that's not a secret. So there's a lot happening here. And Orton is, I can't say enough about him right now. Okay, let's move on here. Bobby Lashley gets another win after he beats Cedric and Ricochet again. I mean, I feel like I'm on repeat. Bobby Lashley is in a clear holding pattern. You know, Extreme Rules to me is... I'm very curious to see after Extreme Rules what happens, because there's a lot of people just in holding patterns. Shayna Baszler doesn't have a defined opponent. Bobby Lashley's been in a holding pattern since he lost to Drew McIntyre at Backlash. Where's Brock Lesnar, right? We have Big Show, clearly just a stepping stone for something bigger for Randy Orton. And likewise, Drew McIntyre is with Dolph Ziggler, but Dolph Ziggler's just a stepping stone to get Drew to the next opponent, of which Randy and Drew could be the next two match up for SummerSlam. But it's just interesting. There's a lot of things that are just an inch away from getting to the good stuff, right? Like, it feels like we're on the cusp of big matches. Like, we are getting there. So those of you that are tuning away from WWE, I would say hang tight, because things are about to get a lot better in terms of storylines, I think, in terms of big matchups, despite the lack of a crowd. Alrighty, moving on here. Okay, we got the lineup for the matches on Extreme Rules, but we will get to that again on Saturday with my preview show. Then we got the main event. Sasha Banks and Bayley versus the Kabuki Warriors for the Women's Tag Team Championships. Now, I will say, had this position been positioned as not the main event, it would have told me a different story. Because, and what I mean by that is, when there are big title changes on non-pay-per-view events, typically they're the main event of the show. So that may be a little concerned that Sasha and Bayley were in jeopardy of losing the belts because it was the main event of Raw. We've seen it before. We've seen it happen. So I was concerned, because I don't want to see Sasha and Bayley split up anytime soon. And this was a really good match. It was about a 15-minute match. It was pay-per-view quality. It was really good. Kairi Sane showed you why she was kept by WWE and why they should utilize her more. The Insane Elbow is a great finish. It can be done on anyone, and it looks great. Yes, she was there to take the pinfall, or in this case, the submission by Sasha Banks, by no hook or crook. That's what was nice about this. I am so happy that this match didn't end in a dreaded roll-up. The overused finish that WWE is just really beating the hell out of over the last few months. The roll-up. You have a whole great match, and then they roll up. They do the roll-up. They do the schoolboy. They do the cradle. I'm glad that this didn't end in a roll-up. This ended in a true, clean finish. And now you're going to have Sasha and Bayley really have something to brag about. That they're absolutely unbeatable. Because they really are the entire women's division right now. They are the foundation for the women's division, and they know that they are in a special place right now because of no Becky. There's no Charlotte. There's no Ronda Rousey. Yes, Shayna Baszler is back, but they are still the biggest stars right now in the women's division. So they know they need to maximize their minutes, and they are, and I'm loving it. And there was no reason for Kairi Sane and Asuka to win the belts, but it did make me, again, concerned because of the position of the show that maybe, just maybe, they might transfer the belts. But to me, why do it when you have a hot, hot heel team in the women's division? No need. No need. But a great match nonetheless. Effort on everyone's parts was really good. And I was happy to see the outcome be a clean victory for the heels, because that can happen every once in a while. I know heels are, they're supposed to cheat to win. They use hook or crook. They do any means necessary to win the match. But, that doesn't have to be every single match. The heels can win clean. It'll make you hate them even more because then you want to see somebody really take them down. So, anyway, overall, really good Raw. Great promos. Good wrestling matches. Again, I feel like we're in a holding pattern of kind of getting through the stepping stones to get to the destinations, which I think are going to be really clear a week from now after Extreme Rules is over and we're truly into SummerSlam season. I don't think we'll get a full list of matches that are happening at SummerSlam next Monday, but certainly some of the bigger matches, right? Like, we should know where Drew McIntyre's headed for SummerSlam. We should know where Bobby Lashley's headed for SummerSlam. And what about the United States Championship? Right? We still have Apollo Crews carrying the belt, but MVP is holding the new belt. So who is champion, right? There's a lot to consider here. And I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoy the show. We'll be back Thursday with NXT and AEW. Friday will be a day off. And then Saturday, of course, will be your HSP SmackDown review with our High Spot podcast team and my late night preview for Extreme Rules. So two shows dropping Saturday, two shows dropping Thursday, and then I might even do a bonus show on Monday next week to review Extreme Rules. So don't forget to follow us on Instagram at WWE_podcast. Also on, again, Facebook at facebook.com/unofficialWWE podcast. Very important. Unofficial WWE podcast on Facebook. So follow us there as well. You can also email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. So with all of that said, guys, I'm looking forward to it. There's going to be a lot of great things happening, I think, in a couple of weeks and maybe even next week as we roll into the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, starting next Monday with SummerSlam on the horizon. So hope everyone's enjoying themselves. As always, I'll talk to you soon. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
Thanks for listening to the WWE podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to wwepodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.